Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle! Welcome to another episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my wonderful co-host. We've got Dr. Shamu.
Hey.
And we've got the fluffiest Whimsicott.
Hi, 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 everyone.
Welcome to this episode of the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007. We talk everything Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. And we're not going to talk about the trading card game for the rest of the episode. So now this is the trading card game segment, I've decided.
Woo. Hell yeah.
Boo, people are saying. No, it's because
we always talk about TCG in this part because we're always doing something with cards or something, or some, at least you are.
That's true. I am. So I got really, I'm like really back into it with rotation. Mm-hmm. And so, first thing, if you have been playing TCG Live or you haven't been playing TCG Live, the desktop client or the game client, they changed the ladder to make it not awful and worth playing. And I really, really appreciate that. I hit Master Ball rank for the first time.
Oh, wow. You actually can hit that.
Yeah, you can now, because, it used to be like they did it so poorly last time where like if you have to get like over a 50% win record to be able to climb. And now you can cruise along at 50%, probably even a little bit under, in all honesty.
Yeah.
And still climb.
That's nice, because, God.
Yeah, it used to be awful. You'd go to Great Ball and you'd stop.
Yeah, because, like, honestly, I'm not really into TCG. Like, I was excited for rotation, and then it didn't feel like anything really changed. Because Zard just still exists in a...
Oh, I just started playing as Pothra.
I like Espothra. That was what I was going to tinker with, honestly. I had, like, a basic list.
I love playing with Espothra because I think it's close-ish to a meta deck. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, it is. With, like, League Headquarters and stuff. So basics will... You're doing at least, like... Yeah.
It's... But it's under the radar enough right now.
People don't tech for it. It's a one-energy attacker. That's good.
People don't know what the card does, and
exactly,
you just get you get a lot of wins on TCG Live because what'll happen is you're playing a Charizard, and not even because you're hitting them for weakness with the Espothra,
because they don't put enough energy.
That's because they don't put enough energy, and then they try to attack you, and they're like, "Oh man, I done messed up."
Yeah,
and then they just quit, and so you just climb the ladder that way. It's fine.
Yeah.
It also shuts down future hands, which a lot of people are playing, right? It shuts down like the two most popular decks, I think, right now. And I think that's the magic of it. I did learn once you hint Master Ball, though, people seem to just stop caring about what deck they're playing.
Oh, yeah, because they're at that point where they're just testing.
I've only hit random garbage since I've been in Master Ball. I was playing against a Wugtrio mill deck that was... But it wasn't just Wugtrio, it was something else. It was, oh man, it did not make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know how to play against that, and yeah, it's a wild time. I do recommend that, but yeah, I did that. So I actually built a Espothra, like, physically too. I'm very happy with that deck.
It's honestly a very good deck, I think, just because it forces more energy and it's
It burns your opponent. Since it's not popular enough, people don't think about like the energy conservation with it.
No, like I remember, San Antonio, people just did not understand League Headquarters and they were just like, it stops them in their tracks. League Headquarters makes basic Pokemon's attacks require one energy more. Espothra's ability is your opponent's active requires one energy more for their attacks.
Yeah.
And its Bob's whole gimmick is for however many energy are on both actives, it does that much times like 30, I think.
Yeah, it's just like psychic on most TCG cards.
That with super effective glasses, like, just destroys his art in one hit for like one energy.
Oh, you don't even need super effective glasses.
You don't need it, but it makes it so you can do it with much less energy.
Yeah, and it actually pairs really well with the Zatu that came out in Paradox Rift. Yep. Where you can, it's essentially the old Calyrex Shadow Rider.
Yeah, you attach energy from your hand to one of your, I think it has to be benched Pokemon.
It has to be benched. It does have to be benched. And you draw two, yeah.
But yeah, with the fact that you get to accelerate once per turn, draw two cards, like fill your hand, attach energy, accelerate. Yeah.
That's my TCG experience. And now it's done. Yeah.
I'm personally out of like standard for now because just I don't like Zard. It just nothing feels. I was excited for rotation, but then honestly after rotation, I just don't see anything here that like sparks joy to me. Like I want to mess with Raging Bolt a bit, but like I just don't. I don't care enough. I don't really have anything to work towards right now. Mm-hmm. I did tinker with GLC a little bit more because I got Metang finally, so I got to tune that up. But that's like
I just enjoy it.
I'm out of TCG for the moment.
Well, we should get back into VGC. VGC, the format's really fun right now. I don't know what's going to happen when one restricted shows up, but
yeah, I have no idea.
I really just like. I kind of want to just go back and start streaming that. Like, I love just like trying to figure out metas and try to play. The problem, I don't know, like, there's something that just, like, kicks into my brain. Now, it's like riding a bike every time I, like, come back. Because I'm not as good as I used to be. I will wholeheartedly admit that. Because, like, at my peak, I was definitely at a point where, like, I could read, like, three or four turns ahead in a Pokemon match. And nowadays, it's always at least one, if not two. But yeah. It's just not enough to like make me the top tier player I felt like I used to be. Mm-hmm. And I kind of miss that, but I also realized how much time I just like sank into becoming that person.
Yeah.
It's how I felt with like draft. I'm like, draft sounds fun on surface, then I get into it. It's like, I just feel too much, you know? And I'm like, I don't.
Draft?
I enjoy it for about like a day or like a week. And then like, I just don't care anymore. I'm like,
it was
right,
fun when I was in grad school and I had way more time.
Yeah.
To do focus on these things. Like I really do enjoy doing that kind of stuff. But I mean, this is completely not Pokemon, by the way. I've been getting fed a bunch of Stardew Valley videos for some reason. And I'm not mad about it.
Yeah.
And you know, like I'm like, I could become a top tier Pokemon player or I could jump into this update on Stardew Valley. So.
Oh no. Oh no.
So you take your pick, you know. I'll do that. I mean, I also, you know, I play Dungeons and Dragons and all these other things. So I've got a bunch of other stuff going on that I like doing. It's more that my interests have expanded and I don't have like the drive to be like, I want to not to be very cheesy, to be the very best like no one ever was, right? Like,
yeah.
I just want to play Pokemon and have a good time. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm sure I could become, like, a really good top-tier TCG player if I sat down and, like, grinded like a lot of them do. I don't have the time to grind.
Yeah. It's almost like we're adults now or something.
I know, right? You can watch the slow, sad evolution of Thatch just becoming an old man.
Yeah. I mean,
you can do that. You can do that with the back catalog of Pokemon, the Puckle podcast.
You're not authorized to call yourself old in my presence.
That's fine. That's fine.
That's
yeah.
A courtesy to me. No, but yeah, I feel you. Like, I have been feeling like I really want to get back into Pokemon. But
yeah,
for me, that right now means really, like, getting into, I don't know, a Nuzlocke of a Gen 5 or Gen 6 game. It doesn't mean getting back into competitive.
That's still, like, a really valid thing to do, though, I think. Like, other than outside of competitive. Like, I think that's very valid. Like, I don't know. The older and older I get, the more and more I appreciate the different ways there are to enjoy the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because sometimes I'm like, yeah, I want to get on this, like, Pokemon Emerald Nuzlocke. Let's go. And yes. I'll do it for myself, not for the rest of you. But And I have a really good time doing that kind of stuff. Like, I really love playing the game and just hanging out and doing that kind of stuff. I do really like getting, like, I like everything, like I was talking about. Like, I really like when I get to sit down and, like, figure out a meta and play it.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy that aspect of it. My only complaint about VGC nowadays is, remember VGC used to, the format used to last a whole year?
Yes.
It changes, like, quarterly, if not earlier than that.
Yeah, it changes, like, every two or three months now, and the 2 months is actually, like, what killed it for me. If it was, like, three or four months for a format, I think I would still be in it.
Mm-hmm.
Only because what'll happen is, like, oh, man, I'm going to get into it, but it'll be, like, halfway through the format already because it'll only be a month in. And I'm like, okay, I figured it out. Maybe I should build this team or make these changes to this team that I want to make that I've been playing the rental code. It's like, well, if I do that, it's going to take me, you know, a couple days.
Yeah.
And then by that time, I'll play a couple games with it, and then it'll be irrelevant.
Mm-mm.
Because the meta's going to change.
Yeah.
Drastically.
It's just, there's no time to solve the format, and then, like, because I think I enjoy it. Like, I don't want a chalk format where it's like, here's five Pokemon that have to be on every team, which thankfully we've gotten away from, it feels.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like,
yes.
I'd like to be able to,
sure.
Like, hey, here's the solved format, or solved, in quotes, you have these multiple teams, but then you can, like, make a tweak to counter that thing that they weren't expecting. Like, it still gives you options make a change to, like, counter the solved format. There's no time to do that because you can't solve the format because it's going to change, and by the time you solve it, oh, guess what? There's a week left. Oh, mm-hmm. It's like, it's just too much change and too fast.
Yeah.
You know,
we hate change.
It's like, it used to be too unbalanced towards being able to pilot the one team well.
Yes.
And now it's a little too unbalanced towards continuous team rebuilding.
Yeah.
And it would be probably better if it was more in the middle.
To be fair, that's a very hard balance, right? Because if you let a meta run too long, there's a chance it will get solved. I can only think of, like, a couple times where that didn't happen. Like, I think the first year of Sun and Moon, the format never really got truly solved because it was actually really crazy because you would just, like, watch the meta evolve, and it was essentially just, like, going in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
Because what would end up happening is, like, this one team would do well because it could beat the team that did really well at the regional
before. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's the thing of, like, someone brought this.
And then it would just, like, go in a circle, and you'd eventually come back to the first team. But it was, but it was never solved because you had to make a lot of good meta calls to, like, figure out how to do it. That one's probably the best example I could give of a year. And I mean, right now, like, the meta's at least exciting because you see different things each tournament, but
Blizzard Articuno.
Yeah, Blizzard Articuno. Yeah, Blizzard, not Blizzard
Sheer Cold
Choice Specs Articuno, like, winning a regional.
Yeah, that was still wild.
Like, that's insane. Yeah, I love that. I actually do love that.
Like, maybe it's too long, but I think I enjoy the whole, like, the year is one format. Because that means, like, the entire season of that year is this format.
Yeah,
you know?
And no, I don't disagree, because that's what's going to end up happening anyway. Because that's what ended up happening at the end of Sword and Shield, where each new regulation was just the same rules over and over and over again with the one or two restricted.
They were just cycling these rules that were, like, yeah, like, no restricted, like, one restricted, two whatever, like, or, like, decks, national decks restricted, it's like, or two restricted, all restricted, or what, I don't remember.
Yeah, I,
you know, like,
I like the restricted format is coming, and which makes me sad, because I really dislike restricted formats.
Yeah, restricted is just,
it might be okay this time, but I mean, we've talked about it on the show the last couple of weeks, and I'm like, I think I could already tell you what the top five are gonna be.
Yeah, it's not.
We'll see, maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe. It just makes me feel sick to the stomach thinking about restricted. Again, seeing the past format, it just feels... And also, it's like...
Outside of Zacian
down.
In the last one, it was okay.
Yeah.
But Zacian was everywhere.
Yeah, I can just see it going very poorly, too, with direction they've taken stuff.
I'm also a little worried with us going to it now, and, like, we don't know when, like, PLZA comes out. Like, is that going to be... is that going to be like a January release like Pokemon Legends Arceus was, or is that actually like the Christmas time release, right? Yeah. Like is Pokemon Legends Z to A is that going to be the game next year? Because then we're stuck. We're still, I don't want to say stuck with Scarlet and Violet, but we're still in Scarlet and Violet for competitive.
Yeah. Where it's quarter four, right? Or winter is what it said.
Okay. No, we have no idea. No, we just say 2025. We have no idea what quarter game it is.
Okay, well, it's just 2025.
And
okay.
Also, I would argue that if it's a Legend game just like Legends Arceus, you're still stuck in Scarlet and Violet for the competitive.
Oh, no, that's what I mean.
We're still stuck in there until...
I'm worried that we're going to get like 4 years instead of three. Well, not worried exactly. Is the wrong word, but... Because I do think they need, like, that breather year. Like, Pokemon definitely needs to take that breather year. If I were Pokemon, I would also take that breather year. One, to make, like, a really banger Gen 10 game. And the Gen 10 game would then also line up with the 30th anniversary.
Exactly.
I think they might be trying to position themselves for that.
Mm-mm. I think it's fair to say that Legends Z2A, ZA, or however you pronounce it, is going Plaza. To be the game. Plaza, right?
Yeah, Plaza.
I think ZDA sounds better because PLA. But
I think it is going to be the game for next year, because if they did have another game in the works for next year, they would have to be like far along into the production to know at least what it would be, which would allow them to craft a trailer much like the one we got for Legends, which had no gameplay.
I do think there's a chance for something like this year still, in terms of like a remake or something. It would be a very similar timeline to like Ultra Moon, Ultra Sun.
This year?
Yeah, or Ultra Sun, Ultra
year?
For this year. Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon didn't get an announcement until June of the year they came out. Like, we didn't know they existed until then. They didn't get announced at Pokemon Day or anything.
Maybe. I don't know if we will.
I'm not saying this is likely. I'm not saying it's likely, but I'm saying it's possible. I'm just, that's what I'm saying.
It could happen. I'm not sure that it could. I just don't think they'd go back to that style of announcing it way late, but maybe they will. I don't know.
They totally could. I think they could to avoid avoid like a BDSP-esque like disaster is the wrong word, but
backlash?
Backlash, yeah. Because if you would just announce like a BDSP equivalent in June, I think it would be fine. Like, I think it's fine. And everybody would be like, wow, thank you for giving us anything. Mm-hmm. And that's it. But yeah, I digress. We've been going on for too long.
Yeah.
This is a topic in its own right now. And I'm sure somebody was filling out the survey furiously now, being like, they should just make that the topic, blah, blah, blah. But either way, we are going to kick it on over to the news, guys. So let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, there's not that much going on other than we did get Pokemon Worlds dates. Pokemon Worlds this year is going to be August 16th to 18th in Honolulu, Hawaii, to nobody's surprise. to many people's frustrations, because they couldn't book flights until that was announced last week. Also, the next wave of Pokemon Horizons episodes are coming to Netflix in the United States on May 10th, which is actually sooner than I would have expected, actually. That's only like a 2 month gap from when we got the first batch. So exciting. We can finally catch up on Pokemon Horizons, because the first 12 episodes, let me tell you, were all set up and no follow through. It was 12 episodes of setup to like figure out what the plot of this show is. And even then, I still don't really know, but that's okay. If you play Pokemon Unite, and the five people in the Discord who still do, Phalanx is going to show up on April 25th. So you can be a Phalanx. And most importantly, the Pokemon Center finally got the hand puppets for Totodile, Trapinch, Gible, Fuecoco, and Grievard. At least they're getting fun things again.
Yeah, these are just like the best Pokemon possible for this kind of item.
Yes,
like,
yeah. Pokemon
it's
Center,
so funny.
Good job, Pokemon Center. You're doing fun things again.
They've also been doing random pins of Pokemon. Like, they're slowly going through, like, generations, but also just hopping around. Like, we got Like, I'm, like, looking at them right now. They're, like, they're the Galvantula Doltic pins. You can get a Spearow or a Fearow if you like them. Root Bonnet. They're, like, a Sudowoodo Pixel, Apom Pixel. Like, they're doing these, like, random Pixel or normal pins for Pokemon every once in a while. And it's kind of nice to see them, you know? Like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Instead of having to wait for, like, one giant wave of, like, newer Pokemon or older Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just slowly speckling them out.
It's nice. Yeah, it's nice.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's a good time. Pokemon Center, you keep doing you. You're doing something special. Whatever that is. I don't know. Pokemon Center, like, I'm still very happy that we got Pokemon Center back in general. When it was launched, I forget when this happened again. This was during, like, Sun and Moon, I think it came back.
I think it was 2015. Maybe?
I don't know. It was a while ago. I just remember it coming back because it used to exist before, and then they got rid of it. I very much enjoy being able to get, like, random things Pokemon themed.
Yeah,
because the random things are my favorite. Like, my favorite category on that website is, like, the home section and just clicking on that.
My favorite drop was the random Wooloo home decor drop they did.
Yeah, there's a Wooloo accented vase right now that you can buy.
I've got the pillows.
Worthwhile.
Yeah, the vase was the funniest. Yeah, but no, it's cool to see that they did, like, a random, like, home decor drop.
Yeah, I love like the home decor. Like, the home decor section is the best. Again? Yes, like, these are important.
Like, I think these are important. A random dish from Pokemon Center from, like, Gen 2 era, like, random stuff from that era. But
a faux fleece blanket with Mareep and Wooloo on it.
Those blankets are really good, though.
Cute.
The blankets are really good. I have one as well. They're actually really nice blankets. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, they're the nice, like, fleece blankets. They're nice.
Yeah, I do recommend. But yeah, all right. Well, let's talk about some video game news, Whimsicott. And yep. You got this one.
So. Someone has figured out the precise RNG seeds for the item printer so that you can guarantee essentially whatever item you want, and especially you can guarantee the Pokeball Lotto.
Yay.
Which means you essentially, like, it's really old school RNG. You input a certain date and time in your Switch. Then you count the number of seconds, since the Switch doesn't have a second hand in its clock. And then you hit the button, and there's a difference between the OLED and the old Switch, because the OLED is faster and stuff like that. And then, if you did it right, you will guarantee the Pokeball Lotto, and you will also guarantee a certain drop of, like, a certain selection of drop Pokeballs.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually super fun and not that hard to do at all. Like, way easier than the old RNG, where you had to also press a certain combination of buttons as you booted up the system.
Mm-hmm.
So this is accessible, and I don't know that it can be patched out, since that's where it gets the seed. So have fun with it.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, outside of the item printer nonsense.
Yep.
We got Pokemon Go.
So April 20th, we're going to get Bellsprout. Awesome.
Yay.
Of course, Bellsprout's awesome. It's a very good Pokemon. It's also going to get a magical leaf because it's a magical day and it's a magical Pokemon.
Perfect. Oh, so wait. Okay, so I have, like, another fun tidbit about how Pokemon Go continues to impress with the amount of not caring. When they announced this, they showed, like, oh, it's 25 candy to get to Weeping Bell, 200 candy to get to Victory Bell. All of this is true in Pokemon Go. But the image they use for the candies in the image are not the Bellsprout candies. They're just a completely different Pokemon. Like, Pokemon Go. Like, just a little bit of effort, guys. Just, like, a little bit, please.
But on top of our blessed day of April 20th, they also announced Necrozma for GoFest. They also released a trailer this week teasing big updates with the tagline Rediscover Go. We got a teaser.
That is all we got, by the way. There's nothing
of a teaser.
Yeah, wow. It's just big updates.
Big updates are definitely coming one day. My favorite thing is like, oh my gosh, I like all of the comments on that on Twitter, by the way, are just hilarious. Like everybody, they're just they're all asking for like very reasonable things too. They're like, hey, could you just like reduce the number of remote raid passes, or could you just take away that artificial limit you placed on remote raids? That we have once we, cause like it used to be infinite remote raids per day, and then they changed it so that it's like, all, you can only do 5 per day. And then they increased the price of the remote raid pass. Somebody's like, could you just make the passes the same? And it's just like a whole thing. Like the community obviously has something, and they definitely just don't listen. Yeah, well, it's hilarious. Yeah, that's it for Pokemon Go. There's some TCG stuff, though.
We have a TCG thing, which I'm actually really excited for this. We're getting a new mini set on August 2nd. I'm happy for the day. But I'm also, I believe if it's going to match up correctly, this is Paradise Dragio or something like that in Japan. So it's like a Dragon's Majesty, Dragon's Vault.
It'll be good for Reggie Drago.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Hey, that's a birthday present to me if it's the dragon set. Literally. I love that. It makes me so happy. Like,
yeah.
It brought a smile to my face seeing it on that date and also being probably the dragon set. Meant to be, they know.
Well, yeah.
But that's it, yeah. We're getting a new mini set on August 2nd.
Cool.
Exactly what it is, but...
All right, so finally we'll wrap things up with Puckle's Pokey Prediction. Golduck is a Gen 1 water psychic Pokemon that they forgot to give the psychic type to. It also tends to be ever-present in the games, but is rarely relevant. How would you give Golduck a boost? An evolution, a mega, or a regional form? I think you give it a regional form, and you make it not awful. I don't know. You just make it like a pure psychic type or something.
Golduck ain't that bad. It's got Swift Swim.
Yeah, but it's not that good.
There's better mods, of course, but
there's always better mods.
Like, I could use a Golduck probably fine. Water type is better than Water Psychic.
That is true.
Like,
is true. I don't know. Starmie's really cool. I like Starmie, but I don't know that Golduck needs to do more.
But also dies to U-turn and knockoff.
That is also true, yeah.
Yeah. Though, honestly, I don't know if I would do that. I would just give it better base abilities.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's only hidden ability is Swift Swim. Damp and Cloud 9 are the basics. Those aren't great, you know. Swift Swim is viable, but it's actually like well rounded, huh? It's like 80s across
maybe
the board,
a bit
like a 95.
Oh yeah, like Golduck is like a fine Pokemon. Yeah. I think that's the problem though. It's just a fine Pokemon.
Yeah,
it's
too
well rounded. Maybe.
Yeah.
You have to min max a little more.
Yeah,
like,
you got
to
min max there. We gotta introduce it to some of my D&D players.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Vacuum wave. Why do you learn vacuum wave? What?
Oh, why not? Why not?
It's cool. I'll take it.
All right. Well, that is gonna be it for our news segment. We are going to go ahead and we're going to kick things on over to our Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz. Thank you for that introduction, Mark. Our first question this week is going to come from Mega Kazuki. In Scarlet and Violet, what normal flying type Pokemon is able to learn Struggle Bug?
Normal flying, learn Struggle Bug.
Well,
yes.
Is Surskit in the game? No,
this is a normal flying type.
Normal flying, not bug flying.
Normal flying. So
normal flying
it's gotta be a
struggle bug.
I think of what normal flying exist in the moment, and I'm like,
Scarlet and Violet, Normal Flying, Struggle Bug. Is there a type change of some kind I'm not thinking of?
I can't think of anything that goes from bug to normal. Like, that was my reasoning. I was like, there's a bug that changes type, but it's not that.
I'm trying to think of something maybe that, like, has a correlation of, like, just, I don't know.
That looks like a bug or moves in a swarm or... Huh.
Yeah, the issue is I'm trying to think of normal flying types in there specifically, and I just can't think of, like... I keep going like the Dodrio, and I'm like, I know it's not Dodrio. I'm like, Dodrio would not learn struggle bug.
Watch it being Dodrio now. But well, the way the question was phrased makes it sound like it's a single Pokemon and not an evolution line.
Yeah, I feel like it's a single, like, unique mon, like something like a Chatup, but not Chatup, you know? But, like... I just can't, like... I'm trying to think of a unique normal flying, and nothing is coming to mind.
Kind of same.
Normal, like, Toucanon, just... kind of. But Toucanon is in there, but I don't think Toucanon learns it.
No, it doesn't sound like its thing. Maybe something tiny? Because when you said Chatot would be, not there.
Small, too, because I'm assuming it has to have some sort of bug-like characteristics, I'm thinking, but I just...
Yeah.
I'm going to need some kind of answer here, guys.
That's fair.
I also have nothing. Do you want to, like, burn the hint right away, or should we just give up?
Well, I guess if we're going to, like, if we're going to, we may as well use the hint. Because if we don't do it anyway, we lose the point anyway.
This is a final evolution in a three-stage line.
Oh, okay.
Three-stage line?
Everybody's favorite NPC also has one.
Means it's Larry. Not the Raptor.
Does he have any other ones that are normal flying and are part of a three-stage evolution line? I can't think of any. So
this is his final team. It was Staraptor just doesn't seem like it. Cause I know he has Flamigo. I know he's got Staraptor. But again, obviously Flamigo is not a normal type.
No.
He's got Dunsparce.
What is a normal flying
I am just spacing on?
I'm gonna need an answer.
I feel like Staraptor could, like, it's a bird that learns close combat.
Maybe it's why it just struggles and just claws at something. Sure, Staraptor. I don't know.
Yeah.
Staraptor is correct.
Weird.
Okay. Yeah,
it's believed to be an oversight similar to how LGM could learn Steel Wing as a TM in Generation 5. It's only Staraptor in the line that can learn it, and has never been able to learn it before this generation, despite it being a TM in other generations.
So it's a bug, but I'm like,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Funny.
Thanks. I see.
Yes. All right. So our next question is going to come from, do you want a question about abilities or a question about TCG sets?
Well, I'm useless on TCG sets, but
I don't know. Either or.
This one's going to be from Elite Four Brandt. He asks, what is the only non-poison type Pokemon capable of having the poison point ability?
Poison type, not poison, or with poison. Shoot.
I feel like... No, that can't be it. It would make sense, though, but I don't think it does have it.
Which one?
Pinkarchin would make sense, but I don't think it does have it.
I don't think so. No, I think it's like Volt Absorb, Lightning Rod, and like something else.
Electric Surge.
Or it's like Electric Terrain. Electric Surge, yeah.
Yeah,
it's got a bunch of electric abilities.
Yep. It would make sense, but it's not that. Something else that is spiky and might look like something poisonous. I don't know, a steel type, a bug type.
I'm thinking it's like a bug type of some kind. Because I immediately think I saw a Cascoon, but I don't remember if Cascoon's a poison type. Because I don't know.
That doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right to me exactly either. I think it has shed skin, but I don't know if it can also get poison point from, like, hidden ability or something weird. also like thinking of a grass type of some kind, but I'm like, I don't know. That or like a weird like water type that's just like mono water, but also like.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing because there are a lot of sea creatures that just sting you. Something like, I don't know, Sea King and.
Yeah.
You know? So maybe, does Pyukumuku ever get it? No, right?
Innards out and unaware.
Yeah. Man.
Because it's something I feel like I should know, and I feel like
I need an answer.
Yeah, you do.
Cascoon, I guess. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, that's shit for
Cascoon is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is Cedra.
Ooh.
Cedra. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was a spiny sea creature. We got
it. Yeah, it was a water type. I couldn't think of the exact mon, but at least this.
I was just thinking about seahorses last night because I was like remembering when I saw them and I couldn't think of Cedra. Dang.
This next question is your Pokedex entry question, as always. This one comes from Toga Nick. They ask, it's Heart Gold entry states, it collects honey every day. It rubs honey on the hairs of its legs to carry it back to its nest. Who's that Pokemon?
Okay, so you would think Combi, but Combi doesn't have legs.
No, so. I'm thinking like Earthurang.
But
I don't think Earthurang would do that, or Teddy Ursa, either of them would do that.
No, they lick the honey from their front paws, and the paws taste different. I remember that one. It was weird. Some other bug, I would say.
Can you read the entry again real quick? I just want to make sure I got it right.
It collects honey every day. It rubs honey on the hairs on its legs to carry back to its nest. From Pokemon Heart Gold.
Yeah, so it's Gen 4 or earlier. Oh, was it Heracross? No, Heracross is sap. Legs.
Yeah.
Not honey. Hair on legs. It's, I don't know. I'm just like.
They don't usually bother giving legs to all the bug Pokemon.
Yeah, so. It could even be like a grass or something. I just don't. The thing that, like, eat honey, I just don't know. I have no. There are no thoughts in my head on what this could be.
Do you want to shoot out something like Teddy Ursa and then get the second entry? I don't know.
We could shoot something out. I don't know.
Okay, let's shoot something out like, I don't know, Beedrill. And we'll. Do you want to do that?
Sure. Beedrill.
Beedrill is unfortunately incorrect.
Dang. Oh, shucks.
The next entry is going to come from Pokemon Let's Go.
What is the Gen 1 mon?
its wings covered with poisonous powder repel water. It allows it to fly in the rain.
Is it Venomoth?
Yeah. Venomoth sounds right. So wings powder. Wait, does Venomoth have legs?
I can't think of them right now. I can't visualize them.
I can't visualize being wings powder.
No, I'm pretty sure Venomoth.
Is it Butterfree maybe?
No, because Butterfree but it does have poison powder. So yeah, it could be Butterfree.
Wings powder, it has legs, it has appendages.
Yeah, and
but Venomoth, also, I guess Venomoth could also have appendages too. I just don't remember what it looks like exactly. I don't know if it's got like little tiny legs that it can't actually stand on. I don't remember.
Yeah, well,
I don't think it does. I don't think it does, but
I don't think it has legs. Like I have many Venomoth because I found 5 shiny Venomoth down in Arizona.
Same.
I don't remember any of them having legs.
I don't remember them either. That's why I'm thinking, like, it's not that for the
maybe
legs.
Maybe Butterfree is a better option.
This is
so stupid.
Yeah.
What's your answer?
Butterfree.
Butterfree is correct. These are Butterfree.
I'm going to go hide in a hole.
You guys are 2 for 3. Your next question is your multiple answer question. And you can
are
get
we
up
two for
to.
Three?
You are yes, two we for are. Three, yeah. You guys get up to 3 points on this question. There are 4 answers here. I only need you guys to give me 3. If you get all 4, you can pat yourselves on the back. One point per answer. This is from Farmer Fox.
We got two wrong.
No, you didn't. You got the first one correct after the hint.
Staraptor. Oh, we did. Oh, we got Staraptor and it was right. Yeah. Oh, right.
After the hint.
I thought it was wrong. Right.
Yes. I'm keeping track. I know what I'm talking about.
It was so absurd that you think it was wrong, but it's correct.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Oh, sorry. You go ahead.
This is from Farmer Fox. What are the four moves that cause the user to become confused after 2 to 3 turns?
Okay. Outrage.
That's two. That's two of them. There's two more. I only need one.
Petal dance
is the third one. Yeah.
I don't know the exact name. I think it's Raging Fury.
Raging Fury is the
fire
move.
Like that.
Raging Fury is the fire move. I remember that. I remember Raging Fury or some other word. It's like Arcanine and like one other mod gets it. It's like very selective.
That is it. Yeah, you got all three Woo! Points there. So you're 5 for 4 now. All nice. Right. Your last question is your base debt question, as always. It's going to come to you from the egotistical Elekid. What Pokemon has the highest base speed stat that also has levitate as an ability?
Highest Ooh. Speed with levitate?
Yes.
Well, let's establish a baseline. Flygon has 100, right?
Yeah, Flygon's got 100. Yeah.
So it has to be higher than that.
Latis don't have levitate, right?
Yes, they do.
Okay, so it's Latios. Mm-mm. Mega Latios, I guess, specifically.
Is there anything?
Because they don't use that ability. And I don't know. I think it's like 110 or 120 or 30 or something like that.
I think
Latios is 110. And the mega is higher.
The mega might be higher, yes. But I don't remember by how much.
I don't remember by how much either, but I'm thinking 10 to 20. So, like, we're looking at, like, a 120-30 range of speed.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Like, what... Like, legendaries with levitate is where I'm thinking.
That one doesn't have it. That one doesn't have it. Those don't have it. That one doesn't have it. No, that would be even more broken.
There are flying types, of course, that are faster, but I just can't think of levitate specifically. And, like, everything with levitate doesn't seem to be insanely fast. Like, it's like, Flygon's like the baseline, of course, and everything seems around that range, if not slower.
Yeah, because, like, Gengar used to be in the top of that, but it's not anymore.
And Mega doesn't have it. It's got Shadow
exactly,
Tag.
Exactly. So, any other, I don't know, weird bug that, I don't know, like, does Ninjask have anything besides speed boost? Like, does it get levitated in some other
it's
way?
It's flying already. So, it doesn't need it.
So, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, random fan, but yeah, that's a unique situation.
Rotom is 106.
No, Rotom is lower. Yeah.
It's lower. Or no, Rotom itself is lower than that, but it's also it is a mon with like 100 speed with levitate. But yeah, so Latios do get it again. I believe they do. I just don't remember. I'm thinking Mega Latios then, because that's the only thing I can think of that's like.
Yeah.
I know the Megas don't get slower.
Mm-mm, exactly.
I know Latios is faster than Latias, so. Yeah, so I guess Mega Latios is the final, unless some reason Mega Latios got faster and it instead of bulk, but...
No, I'm pretty sure
Latios is still keeps the speed, or the speed advantage. So I guess final answer, unless you got something else last second, I don't have anything else.
What's your answer?
I can't think
Mega Latios?
Mega Latios is unfortunately incorrect. It sits at 110 speed. The answer is Azelf with 115.
Oh, Azelf. I forgot those all got them. Yeah, that's
I forgot those Pokemon existed.
Got faster.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, that still gives you guys 5 points on the day. So let's go ahead and add that into your totals. It doesn't actually do anything to the ranking. So in first place we've got Linian with 29. In second place, R Sigma with 27. Tied for third, Claude9 and Seth Vila with 22. In fifth, Jushiro with 21. In sixth, Whimsicott with 20. Tied for seventh are Sublime and Shark with 13. And Shamu is bringing up the rear with 13. Everybody else still has a chance to win in our race to 30. But that is it for Puckle's Poke Quiz. We are going to catch you all on the flip-flop for this one, and we're going to kick it over to the topic. Hey, Thatcher. A lot of you have been asking how you can hang out with us during the week. Well, the best way to do so is come to our Discord server at PuckleDiscord.com. You can join our server, and you can hang out with us, talk Pokemon, battle, do a bunch of cool things, join in our tournaments. So what's stopping you? Come on over, PuckleDiscord.com. You can jump right on in and have a good time talking with the hosts of the show, as well as the large community we've gathered over the years. So come on, let's hang out.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be Generation 6 Pokemon that could be better. Or making them good. Making bad Generation 6 Pokemon good. Something like that. That's what the title of this show will be. Something along those lines.
Something like that.
So what we're going to do is each of us have picked a couple of Pokemon to bring up that probably aren't good Pokemon in terms of like competitive or something like that. And just to discuss about ways we could maybe make them better. I think that...
Because we would really like them to be better.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to be said for Pokemon that fills the same niches and just are outshined by something else. But I think you could really make arguments that like, hey, this Pokemon's just like Game Freak kneecap this one, you know, and you can make it better. And I think a very good way to start in Generation 6, it's very easy to, I think there's one Pokemon that I think was not really a mascot of the generation, but something that they pointed out as one of like the 69 Pokemon that they brought into the game. They brought in Pyroar, and I feel like Pyroar was hyped up and it is just never delivered.
Yeah.
It is a fire normal type, which is an interesting type in and of itself, right? Like, I think when they start giving random normal types of things, that's kind of cool. Because you're...
And that's a...
Yeah, no, that's a type that you can do stuff with. It's fine. It's not bad. You like...
Well, you get some interesting stab, and you get some interesting... I mean, you're immune to ghost, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, you'll take... Like, hey, we take it, you know? That's cool. Yeah, immune to ghost is nice, you know?
Mm-hmm. Especially now with, like, Dragapult. Especially with like Dragapult coming to prominence, I think that's a really interesting type to have. And I mean, it does get a lot of those moves. Like it gets Hyper Voice, and its stab.
It gets the move that needs to in its stab. It gets Hyper Voice, and obviously gets Flamethrower for a fire type. But then this is where it falls off. You get Dark Pulse.
Yeah, it doesn't get much. Well, and
technically Solar Beam.
It doesn't get a lot of things outside of the normal. Like, oh hey. It's a fire normal type, lion. And so it gets, you know, it gets like crunch. It gets dark pulse. It gets solar beam.
It has the issue with its stat line. It's a physical attacker with a special, well, it's a special attacker with a physical move pool.
Like most lion Pokemon, this reminds me a lot of Luxray, in how it just feels underutilized.
Luxray at least has enough of a kit to like make that.
You can almost make Luxray work. It feels very similar to this, though.
It's slow, but Luxray is way better than this.
Pyroar, we do get 106 speed, which is kind of cool, but the 109 special attack just isn't cutting it, I feel like.
Your special moves are Solar Beam, Flamethrower, Hyper Voice, Dark Pulse, and Terror Blast, if you wish. That is it.
That's your coverage.
And it doesn't even get, like, great abilities to really play with it.
Exactly. The abilities are terrible.
I do like Rivalry from, like, a flavor standpoint.
Rivalry is fine for, like, it's mostly flavor for the abilities, but they just don't work on the mod itself as a package.
Its hidden ability is Moxie.
With a base attack of 68 is not enough.
Yeah.
One, we should make a new ability that is Moxie, but for special attack. Like, that should just be a thing.
That would help.
We have Soul Heart.
Yeah, it is, yeah, Soul Heart, essentially. It should just get Soul Heart.
It's Soul Heart that's just stronger than Moxie because it's anything, but, like...
You are absolutely correct. We should definitely just do that. It does just need those things. It's not great outside of that.
Honestly, I would be okay with making it, like, giving it more attack and just making it mixed or, like, with workup or something. You know, that seems fun. Like, it's not good, but it's better than what it was.
It's already got, like, a base stat total of, like, 507, and I don't feel comfortable giving it more than, like, 550 total, so it's not much better than Arcanine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want this to be Arcanine.
550 would be enough to make it, like, adding an extra 43 or even less than that just to bring that attack up to, like, 90. Like, 22 points in attack to bring that to a 90 would be probably enough to make it viable-ish. Like, it wouldn't be the best mod in the world, but that's a workable attack stat to do something with Moxie, and you get fangs, you get acrobatics, which is actually wild.
Yeah, that would be good with acrobatics, actually. You are correct.
Like, psychic fangs, you get bulldoze, like, you get weaker moves, but you have a coverage pool to work with an attack stat if you had one.
I would be interested in that.
Does it get flame charge? I assume it should.
It probably does.
It also gets the fire.
It does. So Moxie with flame charge with a more decent attack stat, not bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like it just needs an attack stat to use its move pool. Because right now it's trying to use a physical move pool on a special attacker. And that is generally like the biggest problem with a lot of Pokemon, is that either the move pool is so bad as a balancing thing, or it's just bad because it's like, hey, we made this lion, which is generally like an aggressive physical kind of creature, into a special attacker, and we didn't like do anything to fix that, you know?
Yeah.
Because like, it's real point. The only good point it has is that it is a fast special attacker with access to Hyper Voice. That's really it. That's its point. That's its good thing it has. Everything else is terrible.
But it would need, like, to either be slightly stronger so that you can just, you know, scarf it, or have an ability that helps it.
A better ability would be one way. Also, it just needs, like, a couple more special moves to fix the attack stat on it, or revamp the abilities. Like, if one of those three things were to happen, I think it could be okay. Because its stat line for a special fast special attacker is not terrible. Is it the best in the world? Obviously, there are things better than it, and like legends and pseudos are always going to outclass these types of things. But like,
yeah, but we're not trying to make them the best. We're trying to make them more usable.
No, we're not.
We're just trying to make it more usable. Yeah,
trying to get out of its one role of just I hit hard with Hyper Voice and Flamethrower and maybe Dark Pulse. Maybe I flinch spam you with a Choice Scarf.
Is there, like, an old Smogon? I'm gonna see if there's a Smogon page.
There probably is.
Like, probably not for Scarlet and Violet, but there's probably one for, like...
Sun and Moon.
Honestly, give it a bit of an attack stat. Give it Reckless. It gets Wild Charge and Flare Blitz. That sounds fun.
I think Moxie is fine.
Moxie is fine. It's definitely fine, but I'm saying, like, if you want to do something that's not Moxie with an actual physical...
There is a page for it in what's it called? Smogon for Scarlet and Violet. Fire Blast, Hyper Voice, who would have thought? Workup / Terra Blast, and Will-O-Wisp, maybe.
So you're playing Fast Stab with Will-O-Wisp, and...
Yeah, it needs better moves. It just needs better moves. I think if you give it better special moves, it's probably fine.
Yeah, again, it's better special moves, a physical attack stat, or better ability that make it work insanely well.
I agree with that.
It's one of those three things, yeah.
Well, let's move on then. Let's get to the next one. Who wants to go next?
Yeah, sure. Let's look at Dedenne.
Yeah.
Oh, Dedenne. Actually, Dedenne is a good one. I support this.
So, Electric Fairy, of course. I'm just going to go over the stats real quick. So, 60 is HP, Attack, Defense, Special Attack, Special Defense, Speed. 67, 58, 57, 81, 67, 101. So, you're looking at Special Attack and Speed.
Yes.
And the speed is reasonable. Like, 80, like 100 and like...
That's it. That's it. That's reasonable.
81 special? It's reasonable. Like, you can do something with an 80 and a 100 there.
Does it really have plus as an ability?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, its abilities are Cheek Pouch, Pickup, and Plus. Like, Cheek Pouch was its unique ability for the time. Sure. Sure. Keep it unique. Pickup. Okay, this does nothing. Plus. Why do we still have plus in the age, like, in our day and age? Why do we have...
It's not even that we have plus. I think my bigger issue is that, I don't know, I feel like if we're going to have a hidden ability, maybe the hidden ability should not be plus.
Honestly, the thing that would fix this mod for me personally, make that plus the technician.
That would be huge, actually.
Because this thing gets Parabolic Charm, or Parabolic is 65 now, but it also gets Draining Kiss, which is base 50, and it's a fairy type. And that would give it a nice neat little niche of like, hey, I've got technician special, and you could also like give it Charge Beam, which is 50. You have Draining Kiss, it's 50. You could always do Trailblaze if you want to do something stupid with that as, like, another, it's 50. Like, you can give it, like, it gets a couple moves that work that way. Or if you want, and you want to make it, like, something else, maybe not, it's hard to take away, because more Pekko kind of does, is the thing I was thinking of leaning it towards, too. But maybe, I think, honestly, though, like, a technician utility, that way it could actually hit with these healing moves, because generally the thing is just going to be a fast utility.
I also feel like, I don't know. First of all, I would love technician for this little guy because he looks like he's repairing an antenna. So that would be very cute. I think it would also need either a tiny bit of extra speed in this day and age, because 101 was good in Gen 6, not amazing.
Nowadays, it's not, yeah.
Maybe I'd give him like...
You need like 111.
111. I was thinking the exact same thing. Yes, 111. Which is totally not over the top, but it gives it something else to work with. And all of it, like, the abilities are really dumb, because Cheek Pouch is not something you want to put on such a frail Pokemon. Like, it doesn't do much for it.
It's not bulky enough to make Cheek Pouch work. I don't mind at least saying that was a signature ability back when it came out, I believe. But, like, Pickup is always, like, that one they just slap it on. It's like, oh, we need to have a Pickup Mon here. Like, why? Why do you need to have a Pickup Mon? Why do you need that? And then also, Hidden Ability Plus is like, ah, yeah, you're already trash here. Slap the sticker on, like, Useless on it, you know? It's like, cool. Now you have no use whatsoever, because you can't really use Cheek Pouch, because, again, you're a Pokemon with 67 HP, 57 defense, and 67 special defense. Cool, you're taking a Poison Sting and not living.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, cool, let me throw anything at you and you will die. So it needs to have either, like, with Cheek Pouch it just doesn't work, but I will forgive one bad ability. Any Pokemon can have, like, one bad ability, but three is like, it's kind of like Pyroar, but Pyroar at least had a good ability, just not good for it. Because Moxie is not good for what Pyroar currently is. Maybe we'll get a revamped of that, like a physical attacking Pyroar in the new Legends game. But yeah, like, Dedenne, I just think at least giving a technician would, like, let it have a hit a little harder with its okay special attack, and having, like, a little, like, I don't know, a little more oomph, and giving it maybe a little bit more speed would let it be a better utility mon, because that way it can just, like, oh, I'm gonna come in, I'm gonna Super Fang you, at least, and I'm gonna Volt Switch out and just do a bit of chip, you know, pivot. But then also, like, if you want, you can use these other lower, like, moves and have an okay, like, you can get, if you really want to run Swift, you can, and Charge Beam 2 gives you an option of just stab technician Draining Kiss. I don't know. It probably can't fix it fully, but it makes it something, you know? Or if you even want, you can give it the Fang package with Strong Jaw or something, you know? Whatever. It's not that it's got an attack stat. Make it a little biting guy, because it is a mouse. It doesn't want to bite.
Yeah, I think both those are, or all of these are great ideas. But yeah, I think Dedenne is totally fixable. What do you have, Whimsicott? What one do you have?
My baby Aurorus. I love this thing. It's one of the prettiest and yet still, like, cute Pokemon they've ever made, in my opinion. And it's a really great concept.
I wish the shiny was better.
Why?
The shiny's fine. It's not that bad. White.
Yeah. I think it goes with the theme.
I think white for a Snowmon is fine. It's also just kind of like, it's a little, it feels a little lazy with it just being, like, inverse, but it's fine.
Yeah, it's like Glaceon. It's not the most surprising thing ever, but it looks really nice. And so my my problem with Aurorus is that it has a niche. It has something it's supposed to be able to do, but then it can't do it because its typing and stats just suck. Because, okay, so you have two quad weaknesses on top of four other weaknesses, and you're like, oh, but this guy is a big dinosaur. It has 123 HP. It's going to be able to take a hit. It's a rock type with and ice type, two types that are usually known for having really good physical defenses, and its physical defense is 72. And you're like, okay, so it's gonna throw up that Aurora Veil because it's fast. No, its speed is 58. This thing is gonna die before it can do anything, and it's really sad.
I will say one thing that changes nowadays, because I forgot about this, is nowadays that defense is actually higher because of the snow, if you do snow warning.
That's fair, but, like, 1 point...
And still, I'm not saying it still needs, like, it still needs at least, like, I would like to see defense go up to, like... Oh, it does. It does. I would like to see that defense go up to, like, 92.
Yes. 92.
Like, make it match with the special defense.
Then 92, with the snow, it starts being reasonable.
Yeah, and hey, and in this case too, it sets snow itself, of course, but like, if you want to, it has the unique thing of working in like sand or hail. If you make those defenses equal, that makes it kind of this.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Because they're either gonna 50% special defense or 50% defense, depending if you're going to hail or sandstorm.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do like that, actually. That's kind of cute.
But like, if we don't want to like raise the stat totals up and leave the same, I would like take 10 from speed, 10 from special, and put it both all into defense. Like, obviously I don't want to make it special attack lower, but to make it fair, you know, I would probably take it from there. You could take it from attack too, but then we're making it much more optimized, and obviously, and anyway, the 58 speed is not going to do anything for you, really, to be perfectly honest. Like, reducing that by 10, I don't think isn't going to change the world. But then you can also, if you do it like in a sand team, you can make it have hyper voice ice type with like refrigerate instead of snow. Or you can, again, make it part of a snow team.
Mm-mm. And I think it's like, you know, you might as well just take everything from the speed and start throwing it at Trick Room stuff at this point.
Oh, yeah, you can do that too. I was just, like, in the perfect world, yeah, we just take it from speed or attack.
Yeah, and you start making it viable for Trick Room.
Yeah, it really just needs, like, an extra chunk of defense. Worst case 10, more... Personally, I would like to see 20, just make it even. It just needs defense so it can actually benefit from the new snow buff.
It would be actually really good for it with... I mean, to be fair, it doesn't exist with the new snow buff, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. Yeah.
It doesn't exist in Scarlet and Violet because that's the world we live in.
Yeah, but maybe...
But also 123 HP with a bit more... If it just had a bit more physical bulk, I think it would be fine. Because again, 123 HP is a lot. That is a lot of HP. It's just the fact that you're a special wall, effectively, with a higher special defense, and you're weak to two types that are mostly physical, if not all physical type thing, like fighting and steel, like Iron Head and, like, whatever, close combat, you know? Like, there's no way you're living in close combat in this day and age with that. Like, unless you have, like, a snow buff and a max defense, and maybe you could live one, but if it's...
Depends from who.
Exactly, yeah. Like, oh, you're gonna take one from an Annihilate? No, you're not. Because also, again, I got to go over the abilities too. Refrigerate's also, like, its abilities are good. It's got two very good abilities.
It actually does have good, it has two good abilities, yeah.
Refrigerate and Snow Warning, both viable, both have uses, both are perfect, honestly, for it. Because it also has the...
And it also, does it get Aurora Veil now? Or no? Did it never get that? Yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to say, it does get Aurora Veil now.
It's also got the, like, nice niche of, if you do Snow Warning, you have auto-hit Blizzard on your kit. If you do refrigerate, you have massive damage with, like, I thought I'd get Hyper Voice, but maybe I'm wrong. But you get Hyper Beam, too, if you want to do that route. It also learns Weather Ball, so if you do go the Sand route, you can have another Rock-type move there, but it also gets, like, I think it's Power Gem or something.
Does it learn Aurora Veil? I can't find it in its moveset.
It does.
It also gets Meteor Beam, I guess, technically. It gets a couple, like, it gets some unique moves. It's a neg move for Aurora Veil. It gets Meteor...
No, it gets a lot of good moves.
Yeah. Discharge, it's interesting. Having an electric-type move on it, take it. Flash Cannon, it gets Earth Power, Dark Pulse. It doesn't get Hyper Voice. Okay. Psychic, Thunderbolt. It gets T-Bolt combo. Okay, or whatever. Thunderbolt, Ice Beam. I think it's not terrible. Like, it gets the move that needs to get to work.
It's just this typing and stats.
if it could, like, be bulky enough to sit there, it gets stealth rock and...
It had, yeah, like, the thing is, like, in the old day and age of, like, a lead mod, this would be really good, because you just go, cool, I'm going to set up, like, Hail, Aurora Veil, Stealth Rock, and then I can die.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I remember the lead days.
Like, it's not so passive that that would be a hindrance as a way to use it.
It also gets freeze dry, which is very nice. Like, again, it's really just the typing and the stat line, and honestly, in this day, you just need to fix that stat line to make it for good, because, again, it's going to be fun.
I would say we do it again, but we're already at a good enough time. I think this is where we'll keep it, because we still have Pokemon of the episode to do today.
Ooh, yeah.
So let's not forget. I mean, this is kind of just more an extended version of that, but I think this is a good place to wrap it up. Hopefully other people like this topic. If you did, please send an email into pucklepodcast@gmail.com letting us know what Pokemon from Generation 6 you think you could make better and how, or you'd like to see get better. Or what your favorite Generation 6 Pokemon is. There's a lot of answers, you guys. I think the most underrated Generation 6 Pokemon is Mega Charizard X.
I missed Mega Charizard X days, man. I also miss Garchomp.
But that is going to be it for this topic. We are going to kick it on over, guys, to our Pokemon of the episode. Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 707, Klefki, the Keyring Pokemon.
Its Pokemon Shield Pokedex entry states, Klefki sucks in metal ions with the horn topping its head. It seems this Pokemon loves keys so much that its head needed to look like one, too.
Oh my gosh.
That's so silly, right?
That is silly. I'm really upset that we never got, like, the U.S. version of, like, the Klefki keychain. Like, in the U.S. Like, they sold one in Japan. They sold one in Japan. I'm really upset they never sold one in the U.S. That would have sold so well.
It would have been so cool. Yeah.
Like, that's one piece of Pokemon merchandise that would have done actually very well. Mm. Is a Klefki keychain. Klefki is a good example of a Pokemon, though, that, like, fell from grace. It used to be very good. Gen 6... Yeah. Meta, like, Klefki was feared.
Klefki was insane, because it was one of the, it was Swagger foul play is what got it really, like, crazy. Because just, like, it would just be able to go, okay, Swagger, you're immediately, you have a chance to just not hurt it. It's also a Steel Fairy type, which
is the best type, that's the best type in the game. The best type combination in the game is Steel Fairy. Yeah. Like, there's no doubt about this.
Yeah, you're weak to two types being Fire and Ground, and that's nothing quad. Mm-hmm. You've got... What, one, two immunities, you're resisting a bunch of stuff from steel.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's insanely good. And, like, your stat line isn't the best, but it's good enough, you know? You've got 91 defense, 87 special defense. You've got reasonable attack and special attack, because with either, like, you did the swag or foul play, or you did something like Calm Mind Stored Power, and had access to, like, Draining Kiss and Flash Cannon.
And now none of this exists. Like, it's fine.
Oh, that still exists.
Yeah.
You can still do Calm Mind now.
It lost Swagger, though, right? It lost Swagger.
It has, like, it does not have access to a lot of the random annoying things it could.
Well, Thunder Wave dropped from 100% accuracy in Gen 7. Too. And then on top of that, in Gen 7, that's when they introduced the Prankster doesn't work on Dark types.
Which is
huge, actually. I don't think people respect that really as much huge. As they should, to the point that people don't remember it exists in, like, the finals of Worlds matches.
Yes. Yes, when Whimsicott couldn't affect that. Oh, my,
like,
gosh.
Let me look at this gen real quick.
Like, people forget that is a mechanic all the time.
I'm double-checking something because I had the wrong generation pulled up, so I'm making sure I am not wrong on Swagger. I am not wrong on Swagger. Cool. But the only, like, the other thing it gets that's really good, though, is it gets priority spikes, which is not
that's
bad.
Okay. That's okay.
You know? But, like, it used to be just known as a really annoying mon type of thing. Like, you just do, like, Swagger foul play, and it would just eliminate things, because you're giving them attack boost, foul play works off your opponent's attack.
Oh, I forgot about that. The Klefki card that came out recently is actually, like, not terrible either.
Yeah. Yeah, you, once you're active, all basic Pokemon have no abilities. Mm-hmm. It's not bad, except for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. The funny thing is, the person who designed Klepki also designed Stunfisk, which I find great.
Really? Wait, really? Who did it?
You're in Victini. Mana Ibe? Ibe?
I'm into it.
IBE.
So I'm into this.
They designed Victini, Herdier, Stunfisk, and Klefki. They were mainly like a third graphic designer that worked.
I just want to know who these people are. I just want to, I love knowing like when we know that certain Pokemon are designed by people and like just seeing like the very small subset of Pokemon they designed. Like how do you only get credit for designing Herdier? Like how does that happen? Mm-hmm. Like how did you design Herdier but not Stoutland or Lillipup?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I assume with like, here's this thing, make the thing in between. Yeah. You know?
Exactly.
But like, she also designed 5 Pokemon cards, or like drew 5 Pokemon cards, being Gladian, Lillian, Luthamine, all from that era, and Resolve from Cosmopolis, and then a Manectric from Arceus, like an ancient set. I don't know.
An ancient set. It's fine.
It's like Gen 4 set, like it is now. It's not even expanded, so yeah. Anything that's not an expanded, I would consider ancient, to be perfectly honest.
But anything before X and Y. Anything before X and Y. Is like nobody had the cards. Like that's why Expanded's dying.
But no, like Klefki's still like not.
It's not bad.
Terrible. Like it just lost a lot of its more annoying things.
I don't fear it like I did in 2013. Okay.
Yeah. Also, it gets reflected in light screen, which is also something viable for with like light clay.
Yeah.
Dual screens, but yeah, like it's a very tricksy mon in general.
Yeah, I used to fear it, and now I no longer do.
Oh, it used to be really scary because we didn't have answers to Steel and Fairy types, and our Pokemon were very much not as superpowered as they are now.
Mm.
Yeah, and also, like, maybe you thought you had an answer to Klefki because you had a strong ground type, and it's the one time that the Klefki is packing Prankster Magnetrise.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Yeah. Like, and oh, so now you hit it with a fire type move. Are you going to be able to really hit it because you're confused?
Yeah. I love reading Bulbapedia because sometimes like the words are just like written so officially in ways that don't need to be said. Klefki may also be inspired by the pagan tradition of blaming fairies for the loss of small objects such as shoes and keys.
It's a key ring.
It does steal keys though.
I think the one thing that to me is like they could have like done something more with it. Is that its national dex number is 707.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's something there. I see something there.
What I would appreciate is like now that we have Pokemon like Mousehold, where it's just like random numbers of Pokemon or something random about the Pokemon design that doesn't affect anything. I would love for Klefki's to have different combinations of keys.
I would love that
I would love that. Like, I would love to see like, Klefki's with different combinations of keys.
Maybe, like, I don't know, just one form that has an extra key.
Yeah, an extra key or, I want one with, like, one of the giant key fobs that exists now. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know how, like...
Imagine a future age of just, like, it's got, like, credit cards on there.
Well, you got...
It's got, like, punch hold credit cards on the thing.
Well,
like, and
They've got, like, the keys now for, like, the cars without the, with the keyless ignitions. Yeah. Like, I want one with one of those big fat things sitting on it, for the keyless ignition.
I don't know that I'd like that, but it would be really cool to have... Like, say a rare one, like someone that is as rare as the authentic teacups.
No, that's exactly what I'm thinking of. I'm like, think of Sinistee and how people go crazy over the authentic versus the not.
Exactly. And this one would have to have like one of those really big, really ornate antique keys on it.
Yeah, that would be good. I would be really into that.
Me too.
I would be really into this.
Or imagine if the little like thing in the middle is a different key depending. Instead of it like just being like
oh it evolved like, to oh, look
the
like a different thing
much more fancy or something
I think that would just be a really cool little nod because I think at this point that's what Klefki's turning into so I think it'd be really cool to see a Klefki with the different like just like one extra key or something like just something small like that
change the order of the key that they're already on there so they're in different
oh no don't order. Do that don't do that
no that just turns it into spin die and it's a headache
yeah
no there's only 4 keys there's only so many combinations you can't go
there's a lot there's a lot of combinations when you do that
yeah there's a lot of combinations but it's not infinite it's not like no thousand combinations
no it's still like 64 like, though like It's not square.
It's enough that it makes it annoying to collect. But a creamy looks different enough that mm-hmm. it's fun to collect them.
Mm-hmm.
Just having the keys shuffled around is not fun enough to make it a collectible that someone wants to go after.
I think having an extra key makes sense. Like, an extra key would make sense to me.
Mm-mm.
I'd be very much into extra key clef key.
It would actually, you know, you could do something really fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
So if it wasn't as rare as 1 out of 100, maybe 1 out of, I don't know, 50,
mm-hmm.
and you needed that extra key to get into some place during the story of the game, so you have to
not
find
even, no,
that
not even the story, not during the story,
key.
But like it's like a side quest, you know what I mean?
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Like you can't get into this building to get this item unless you catch a clef key with an extra key. Like,
maybe
they already have things like this. They already have things
maybe,
like this.
Maybe
right?
There's an NPC that you could just like, oh, I'm looking for this. And
exactly.
You show him and he goes, cool, here's the Pokeball. And then you
yeah.
cry because you got nothing for
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And he hands
I
you
I think
a
it
great
would
ball.
Be fun.
I think
or,
so, too.
Or it would be a good way to introduce the concept. Like, you make it rare, but there's an NPC that, like, shows you one mm-hmm. or wants one. You know, it would be fun.
I agree. I think clef key is being underutilized, and can, like, in the manga, they've got one, on the Bulbapedia page where it's got like 10 keys on it. I think that would be a lot of fun. I don't know. I also like imagine a clef key storyline or something like, I don't know. I miss X and Y in how it felt like an adventure, even though it was a little on rails. I miss that. I would love to have like a little side adventure where like a clef key's terrorizing a small town and you have to go stop the clef key from stealing everybody's keys.
It's locking everyone out of their houses.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah. I just think that would be a lot of fun.
And then you find out that the local blacksmith has trained this clef key.
Yeah, they're all using these automatic doorknobs that are just like, they just finger the biometrics or whatever. It's like, nah, they're not using keys anymore. We don't need a blacksmith to make these keys or some lockpick to help people get into their houses because it's all biometric or something. I don't know.
I just think it'd
well,
be really
see,
fun.
That would make clef key very angry. And since it's a prankster fairy, maybe it would mm-hmm. like plot a revenge because people don't use enough keys anymore and it can't collect its treasures.
Oh, that's even. Oh my gosh, what a fun story
guess
idea!
Guess what? We just spoiled a Zidue.
Yeah,
there's a Zidue quest.
Honestly, that's probably going to happen in Zidue. In Zidue, there's definitely going to be some kind of clef key thing that happens. I guarantee it.
Yeah, it's such a fun Pokemon. I love it.
I think it's got a lot of flavor potential that hasn't been used yet.
Mm-mm.
And I think they could do it. PLZA is like definitely the place where it could be used. I agree with that. But yeah, that's clef key. We are going to go ahead, guys, and we're going to kick it on over then to our mailbag.
It's mail time. Send in your emails.
Welcome to our mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can send your emails into pucklepodcast@gmail.com, and we will probably read it on the show. As always, this segment is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
And we'll give out the Green Tauros badge to anybody who we deem worthy, and it's going to be the one guy who sent us an email last week. It's going to be from Tamal. All right. So last week we asked you guys what your top five and bottom five regions were from that last episode, and we're going to jump right in on into this from Timal. Good day, Puckle. Timal here with my top and bottom five regions. I'm sticking to the main regions from the games and a couple of spinoffs that I've played. Top number five, Paldea. A rough transition from playing Tears of the Kingdom to Scarlet. It looks not too bad. I like this region for its variance in its natural landscapes, like Glissado Mountain, the waterfalls near Casaroya Lake. I cannot say any of these names. So Kart Trail with its perpetual autumn, not to mention Area Zero, which is unlike anywhere we've seen in a Pokemon game. That's true. It was good. Number four, Lentil from the new Pokemon Snap. The environments in this region were absolutely gorgeous. Going from a tropical beach at sunset to crystal caves, forgotten ruins, and a time-shifting forest, and seeing all the Pokemon interacting with their surroundings. In terms of natural beauty, what more could you want from a region?
Mm-hmm.
Lentil is very good. I do want to like say that like Lentil is just a rail shooter, so they could shoot. They made a very small section of that region very, very pretty.
Yeah.
Again, it was meant to be a picture game, and it was also, again, on rail, so it's like, yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it didn't look good, I'll tell you that much. It doesn't mean it didn't look good.
Oh, no, it looks good! It's just, like, it's just a fact that, like, yeah, they got to focus on one area. Didn't have to really, like...
I would love for, like, a spin-off region to make a presence in a mainline Pokemon game, or even vice versa, like, a main region show up in a Pokemon game like this. Like, if new Pokemon Snap happened in, like, Paldea, that would be really cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would be into that. Number 3, Unova. Specifically, its expanded version from Black and White 2. Unashamed Gen 5 fanboy here. I like the distinct look of the towns and cities, and Victory Road from Black and White 2 is my favorite in the series, where you could traverse forests, mountains, and the ruins of End's Castle. Hmm. That's fair. I mean, Gen 5 is not a bad gen. I just think, it's fun. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Number 2, Hoenn. Sure, 7.8 out of 10, too much water. This region was unique for its time and still is now. My favorite section is the tropical rainforest heading up past the Weather Institute into Four Tree City. To be fair, when I think of Hoenn and think about like some of like the best looking parts, I think of that part as well.
Me too.
From Malville to the Four Tree, yeah.
That's the part that I think of actually. Like when I think of like playing that game, that is the section of the game I think about playing. And actually, like they purposely made it look that good because this was like on the Game Boy Advance, which had way more colors than the Game Boy Color. So they made it do this on purpose, and I'm here for it. I don't know, like the Gen 3 and Gen 4 aesthetic, I just am still in love with.
Yeah, it's a very nice looking game, I think. Like the water hurt, it sucks a bit because like cool, they had like half the region where you could have done something with, but honestly, like it's also I think a bit of a stretch with how much it actually was in the reality.
Let me finish this. Along with Moss Deep, Pseudopolis, and even Pacifidlog, this is probably the best variation in human settlements in the series. The music when exploring Hoenn is amazing, and how fun was soaring around it in Auraz. That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Number 1, Sinnoh. This is a hot take. I like mountainous alpine regions, IRL, probably because I live in a coastal city where it is scorching for 75% of the year. Sure, HM usage in Sinnoh was awful, alleviated slightly in BDSP, but it's still a lot of fun to explore. Exploring into the past as Hisui only helped to solidify it as my favorite Pokemon region. Hisui, to be fair, is very good. I think Hisui is good.
I think Sinnoh is fine. I think it's better than Black and White, to be honest. Black and White didn't feel like much to me. You're going in an oval, cool.
Oh, Black, yeah. I agree with that. I do agree with that.
Like, at least Sinnoh had, like, you have a snow, you've got your mountain, you've got some forest, you've got stuff. Like, it's diverse enough to be fine. Like,
Gen 5 is when I think Pokemon games started to, I think they tried to become more uniformized. If that makes sense. I think before that, I don't know, like up to Gen 4, I feel like the games like had a story to tell, even if it wasn't a very good story. And that took a lot of precedence.
Yeah, I think the thing is before Gen 5, too, was when, hey, this game is based on this giant region. And then after, like Gen 5 and after, like here, it's based on this small subset of region, Gen, to a degree.
I think you're kind of correct, because I don't know. I both love and hate. I think I've mentioned this before. I both love and hate how much they are just like, this Pokemon region's based on this real world place. And before, when we were only getting like, hey, these are references to like Japanese places in Japan, I don't think that there was nearly as much evidence or emphasis placed on that. It was just like, hey, here's like a cool little Easter egg. Hoenn's actually this island in Japan and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like it.
And now that it's forefront, I feel like, I don't know, sometimes it takes things away from it, but I think it does give things to it as well. Like Alola, like people are really hyped about that. When your home country is represented, I feel like you're just very excited by it.
And I think it's more so too that they more theme the concepts of stuff in that area instead of the whole area is that place. It's now like, hey, Sword and Shield was like London, whatever. It's like, ah, here's all this like English kind of thematics, but it's not like directly this is there. It's like it's based on it.
It makes a ton of sense because again, Japan is their home country.
Yes,
and so yes. They want to capture a region of Japan, but they want to capture the feel of that foreign country more so than anything else. So,
yeah. All right. And now for the bottom five. Number five, Kalos. Mainly for how undercooked X and Y are, that you can't blame the game for the region.
Yeah, exactly.
The Lumiose Badlands are a pain to navigate, as is Lumiose City itself. I like that it's hard to navigate. I love getting lost in video games, I'm not going to lie. I do like the area north with the marshes and Laverre City.
Ah, see, that's my favorite.
There's some cool parts of it, but there's also parts where I think it was the Badlands, is that what it was? Where it's just like...
Yeah, the Badlands, yeah. The Badlands is definitely the weakest part.
It was just like, here's this area that could have been cool to explore, and you just can't.
It is the weakest part.
It's like, I compare that to like the deserts in Gen 5, where you can explore the deserts, like, but this is like, yeah, here's this Badlands, it's like a single route, and there's nothing here to explore, you're in here for the final base. It's the issue with like, I think Gen 5 and Gen 6 are the, here's this oval, go have fun in the oval.
Yeah, and also like...
Where other gens had a sprawling map, where it was like, you're going up and left and right and up and down. Yeah, it's still like a giant circle kind of in the end of the day, but it's not like directly an oval.
Yeah.
Because I can remember the shapes of both Gen 5 and Gen 6 where it's like, there's a line, there's the oval, and there's a line at the top of the oval. Have fun.
No, Gen 6 was like a star. It was like a star pattern that you had to go in. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, it was a star. Yeah, it was like, a bit like a star.
I think once we started getting into like, when we started basing the regions off countries though, I think that's when like the region design, I want to say region layout probably started to suffer a little bit.
Yeah.
That, in my opinion, but that I could be incorrect. So number four, Galar. It feels like a movie set. A lot to it, a lot to look at, but not a whole lot to do. So much wasted space, and I cannot forgive Galar Mine number one and number two. Isle of Armor and Crown Tundra are much better than the wild area. These are facts.
This is such a good way to put it, too. Like, it does feel like a movie set.
It does feel like a movie set.
Every route was just a rail. Like, here's this, like, line you go across.
No, the routes were really bad. The routes were really bad in Galar.
Yeah, I think it was more of a thing of, I think it was really just an experiment. That entire game was, like, an experiment to see what they could get away with.
It was just a very rough transition. I think it was just a very rough transition.
A rough transition, plus I just feel like they tried so many little things and so many things happened in that game in that, like, that time span where it just felt like, what can we do? What can we get away with? What will happen? And that's, here we are.
Number three, Kanto. Once you've made it to Cerulean City, you've pretty much seen all it has to offer.
True.
Another thing that always irked me about Kanto, how do the ships docked in Vermilion City get past Cycling Road to get to the wider ocean? Sure, it's a bridge in Heart Gold Soul Silver, but it isn't in any of Kanto's other appearances. I think it's essentially a road. It's fine. A bridge.
Yeah.
Number two, Ore, a boring desert. Next.
Fair.
That is very true. Number one,
Yeah, or it was just a dungeon, with like connected dungeons.
Yes. Well, it wasn't even connected. It was literally you fly to city to city.
No, it's, yeah.
It was also meant to be a boring desert that was meant to be like the Wild West, but I digress. Number one, Alola. I want to explore Hawaii for its natural beauty, but not follow concrete roads like I'm on a guided tour. Same issue as Galar. A lot to look at, but so railroaded even if you don't take Tutorial Island into account.
Well... Well, this is fair-ish. It's like, maybe you don't want to explore the nature of Hawaii without, like, a tour guide or something.
Actually, being to Hawaii, you kind of do, but that's fine.
Yeah, without a tour guide?
No, you want a tour guide. You want a tour guide. Like, absolutely, you want a tour guide.
That was my point. You don't do that alone.
No, I agree. But I could forgive all that if Alola wasn't the home of Pokemon's worst person, Sophocles. I am not crazy. I know he swapped those totems. I knew it was 738, the one after Charjabug. As if I could ever make such a mistake. Never. Never. I just couldn't prove it. He covered his tracks. He got that idiot at the Hakulani Observatory to lie for him. You think this is something? You think this is bad? This chicanery? He's done worse. That experiment. Are you telling me that power just happens to go out like that? No. He orchestrated it. Sophocles. He pinged a totem through a sunroof, and I saved him, and I shouldn't have. And I took him into my own festival plaza. What was I thinking? He'll never change. He'll never change. Ever since he was 9, always the same. Couldn't keep his hands out of the festival coin drawer. But not our Sophocles. Could it be our precious Sophocles stealing them blind? And he gets to be a trial captain? What a sick joke. I should have stopped him when I had the chance. And you have to stop him. I apologize. I lost my train of thought. I got carried away. Cheers, mates. Timball.
If he didn't
Wow.
I was losing while you talking before. I was like reading ahead, seeing this.
Oh, and
you would have earned the Green Tauros badge if you didn't already have it.
he's earned it because he's the only email today anyway. But
well, he's already has it. He's got it. Like he doesn't. We don't have. No one's getting it this week because he already has it.
That was really good. That was. That's just like a very random end to that email, but I'm into it. I guess.
Pepe Silvia. That's how I feel.
Oh. That was pretty good, though. But yeah, if you would like to email us next week at fucklepodcast@gmail.com, you can do so, letting us know what your favorite or Pokemon from Generation 6 is, and if it's bad, how you would make it better. Let us know. Other than that, though, guys, yeah, you can follow us or keep up with us throughout the week by coming to the Discord server at pucklediscord.com. You could follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or you could follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. Follow us at youtube.com/pucklepodcast. Or you could even follow us over on whatever else we follow on. You could help support the show by going over to Troll and Toad and buying your cardboard at trollandtoad.com and using code PucklePod5 at checkout for a 5% discount. You can, of course, also join our Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast, where you can get cool things like extra shows and even merch. Next merch drop is going to be in June. It's going to be playmats, Puckle playmats. And they actually look pretty slick this time. I finally got my prototype.
Mm.
Yeah, they look very nice. They came out much better than I actually expected. So they look very good. But yeah, on that note, guys, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Shamu.
And I have been the Fluffiest Whimsicott.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.